Despite focus in the country on the presidential primaries, we continue to cover the man who is still president. We look today to Israel, where President Bush is visiting for the first time in his presidency. His stated mission is to rejuvenate peace talks between Israel and Palestine. Those talks started at Annapolis, Maryland, at a summit in November, but they have since stalled. What effect will Mr. Bush's trip to the region have on the elusive possibility of Israeli-Palestinian peace? On the line with us from Israel is New York Times Jerusalem Bureau Chief Steve Erlanger. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
First question to you. From your understanding, why has it taken President Bush 7 years to make his first trip to the Middle East?
Well, I've asked that question, and their response is that they didn't want to get bogged down in an endless negotiation the way they felt President Clinton did. They felt the parties were not ready for serious talks. And, of course, after 9/11, Mr. Bush basically defined the world into terrorists and non-terrorists, and he put Yasser Arafat on the sort of terrorist side, so there was no way to talk to them from the Bush point of view. I think they missed an opportunity when Mahmoud Abbas was elected president after the death of Yasser Arafat in January 2005. A year later, Hamas was elected to run the Palestinian Authority. And now, of course, the Bush people are saying that the deterioration in the Palestinian society and, in a way, the creeping annexation of the West Bank by Israel make it imperative to shore up the two-state solution, particularly in the context of a rising Iranian power, which makes a lot of America's allies in the Sunni Arab world extremely nervous.
Just for perspective, how would you describe the level of tension in that region, specifically Israel and Palestine, today relative to the last 7 years? Are we closer to peace? Are we further away? Are we moving toward it? Are we moving away from it?
I think right now it feels very virtual. The Palestinians are exhausted and they're divided. I mean, a big part of their future state, Gaza, is under the control of Hamas. And the man doing the negotiating, the elected president, Mahmoud Abbas of Fatah, doesn't control Gaza. So it's very difficult to make peace with the people, in a way, at war with itself. But the Israelis, under Prime Minister Olmert, who's himself a weak politician needing an agenda, they do trust George Bush. They do believe he has their security at heart, and they know that another generation of occupation, you know, can be done, but it's not to the benefit of Israel. Israel would like to negotiate a division of the land. It will be controversial. Not all Israelis agree, but most Israelis do. They want this long occupation to stop for their own sakes, not just for the Palestinians' sakes, but they also want a stable Palestinian state on the other side. So that's the problem. How do you build the institutions of a future Palestinian state when a big part of the Palestinian nation isn't sure whether it wants to build a state or fight a war, or whether war is really the best way to begin serious negotiations with Israel? There's a lot of mistrust of the Israelis from the Palestinians. There's a lot of mistrust of the Palestinians from the Israelis, and a little bit both sides have lost faith in themselves too. So it's a down period, but it is always good, I think, that the Americans are involved. They are pushing the two sides to talk and hoping to at least block the stagnation and look ahead.
You wrote today about Mr. Bush's collegial relationship with Prime Minister Olmert. They're buddies. They are both athletes. They like to smoke cigars. But given your previously stated analysis that Olmert isn't particularly popular, how does Bush's buddy-buddy relationship with Olmert affect his influence in the region? If Olmert isn't popular and Bush is his buddy, how does that influence what's going on?
Well, Bush isn't very popular either. So, you know, in a way, you've got two guys that kind of need each other. I mean, it helps Bush that Olmert is so friendly to him in American political terms. It certainly helps Olmert that who's facing at the end of this month the final report of a very critical commission into the Lebanon war and his performance, which will leave him slightly shaky. It's very important that the President of the United States, you know, be with him hand in hand. For the region, it's dicier because Bush is seen as not an even-handed actor, even though he's called for the establishment of a Palestinian state. Most Palestinians, and I think most Arabs in the region, regard him as Israel's friend and not the Palestinians' friend. And I think that's the biggest problem.
President Bush today said not only does he hope there will be a peace agreement by the end of his presidential term, he knows there will be. He stated with some certainty, we will have a peace arrangement. I only have a year left, and this is going to happen. A, what is the strategy in saying such a thing? And B, is that a realistic goal?
Well, I think it's a faith-based goal. Olmert has said very openly that Bush is such a good friend and he has Israel's security heart that we should take advantage of this presidency if we're going to do this, because we don't know what's going to happen. And Olmert has also said we don't know what will succeed Mahmoud Abbas, who, though weak, is a person who believes in peace and believes in two states and believes in negotiations. So I think that kind of drives the process. And I think Bush has been here telling both leaders, Olmert and Abbas, look, you better get moving. If you're serious, then I'll be serious. If you're not serious, I'm going to walk away, because the United States can't want a deal more than the two parties want a deal. And if they do have a deal, what we're actually talking about, it's important to remember, is a peace agreement, if they can reach one, that will be put on a shelf while it's implemented. It would have to be implemented over a number of years. The Israelis are not going to be pulling back from the West Bank until they're sure there's a Palestinian security force there that will protect them and that the West Bank will not become, like Gaza, a source of rockets into Israel.
Well, thank you, Stephen. Stephen Erlanger is the Jerusalem Bureau Chief of the New York Times. Thank you very much for being with us and letting us know what's going on over there.
Thank you.